Let's go to Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joseph, I have to tell you about a report I saw in the news yesterday that was unbelievable. There was a Ukrainian soldier who was wounded, and he's in the middle of a field, and the Ukrainians sent a drone to help him. The drone spotted him and actually brought him first aid supplies and water, and then he was able to get back to a place where he could go to safety. And then in that same report, they had a story about the Russians being under fire, and the Ukrainians overpowered them, and the commander of this unit was left behind for dead. Apparently the Russians thought he was dead, but he wasn't, and the Ukrainians came across him and then administered first aid, because that's the order they're given, because sometimes these Russian soldiers can be exchanged later for Ukrainians, and so they had him in their custody. But I mean, just the difference between the Russians leaving their commander for dead and then the Ukrainians sending a drone to help this soldier who was wounded, it was unbelievable. And I know you encounter those stories every day, don't you?
Yeah, it is. You know, there, and good afternoon, Bob, from Lviv. There we see the difference. You know, Ukrainians know what they're fighting for. They didn't choose this war. It was forced upon them. They did choose in 2014 to be independent and free, and to be a healthy democracy that was, you know, not a friendly place for corruption. And they built such a wonderful society, as I saw it in the years here before Russia's full-scale invasion. And they're fighting for their families and their neighbors and their community, and for the very idea of being Ukrainian. And so often we see that the Russians, you know, do not know what they're fighting for, unless it is some kind of, you know, old imperial idea of Russian Empire. And you know, that doesn't give you great motivations, and it doesn't make these strong bonds of brotherhood that the Ukrainian warriors have. And that story you told about the drone, it also shows, you know, just how valuable and important drones are in this war, not only for surveillance and to find where the enemy is, not only to destroy the enemy, but actually to help save lives. And, you know, we've had many donors who listen to this program who sent money for drones. And so they participated in making it possible for a story like that to happen. And you think we saw earlier the story of the Ukrainians helping the Russian who was trying to surrender. And this is, you have to keep that humanity with you. And that's hard. I mean, because everyone is so filled with hate and rage, like that story I told you several days ago about the soldier who saw, you know, the Russians texted him the picture of how they killed his mother. But you still have to keep your humanity. And I think that's what I see everyone in the society doing together, to remind themselves why they are fighting this and to stay human. But we do see the great value of drones. So we always welcome further support to get drones to people. You can send support to UkrainianFreedomNews.com. As I think today is a 526th day. You know, these numbers don't even make sense anymore as it just goes on and on. It's also the month of, it's August 3rd. And in Ukrainian, the word for month is the same as the word for moon, Mesets. And last month was the month of the linden tree, but now it's the month of Serpane, which means the month of the sickle. It's a time of harvest. And we think of, you know, what a bountiful country this is. And you know, right now, Russia is attacking the grain supplies of Ukraine. And in fact, Russia said just in the past 24 hours that they are open to restoring the grain deal that allowed Ukraine to export through the Black Sea. And it's interesting that Russia is saying that they're open to restoring this deal, because within 24 hours of that deal expiring just a few weeks ago, Russians have, every few days have attacked Ukrainian port infrastructure, Ukrainian grain warehouses, and they've really damaged that infrastructure. So even if there was an ability to restart that grain deal, there would be a lot of rebuilding required to make that happen. But also on this idea of the sickle, you know, that was the famous Soviet symbol. You know, there's the sickle of the harvest, and then there's sort of that sick sickle of Sovietism. And in Kyiv, this first week of the month of the sickle of August, workers are demolishing a hammer and sickle symbol that was on this statue in a park in Kyiv. It's sort of like Kyiv Statue of Liberty. It was built during the Soviet times. It's called the Motherland Monument. And it's very dramatic, and it looms over the city on a hill over the golden domes of the nearby churches. And there was a debate here in Ukrainian society. Should the government or should people spend more money to buy drones, or spend, you know, some thousands of dollars to take off this the hammer and sickle symbol, that symbol of Sovietism? And the local authorities decided it was important symbolically not to destroy the statue, but to take off the Soviet symbol. And once that is fully removed this week, they're going to add the Ukrainian trident, which is the symbol of Ukraine. And it's actually an ancient symbol. It's the Trezub, you know, the symbol of Poseidon. Has nautical roots, and it goes back to the founding of Kyiv by Vikings who sailed down from what is now Sweden, which in ancient times was called Rus. The Rus people did not come from Moscow. They came from what is now Sweden, and they settled and created the great civilization of Kyiv about 1,000 years ago. And so the Ukrainians will be restoring, will be adding that symbol in place of the Soviet hammer and sickle. Just another step of reclaiming their heritage in this time of of existential threats. Interestingly, that trident symbol also resembles a descending Holy Spirit, and it spells the word Volia, which means will to freedom. And that's it. You know, I think Ukrainians have that will, not just for themselves, but as we see with the way they would care even for prisoners of war, to care for any, you know, and we see so many videos, Bob, as well, of Ukrainians caring for stray dogs and cats in the trenches. And you have to have a love of humanity and life, I think, in order to have that really that deep will to live and to survive.
Absolutely. Let me share this text with you that came in the other day. You'll like this. Does Joseph have people, writers? Good Lord, what a free education he gives us on WGN. Thank you. We appreciate the history lessons along the way, Joe.
No, I thank you for that. And I have conversations with Ukrainians and foreigners, you know, as I travel this great country from Lviv I've been everywhere from Bakhmut to Kharkiv to Odessa. And it's a great conversations that people have here. And there was this Harvard professor here. And when she was leaving Ukraine, she said she's never had better conversations in her life than her time here. So that's what informs these daily reports with you.
Appreciate it. Be well. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.